This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Bulletin, newsflash. This is not Truman Jones.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, he's got big shoes to fill, Hooper Pinuel. This is Dan Whittle. I'm the guest host today. My sidekick's Hooper Pinuel. We're going to play radio today on WGNS, the voice of Rutherford County, since 1947. That's a year or two before you were born.
And that's 1450 on your dial.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is on the FM dial, but 101.9, it looks like to me,
and
right there, and 101.005.
Yeah.
They're just everywhere. There used to be one station, one channel here, and you couldn't pick it up outside of Las Casas.
We were talking before we went on the air with Brian, and the technology, I used to do radio professionally for a while, and the technology is such now that I could not dare do it.
How did you get into radio?
Because I didn't have a face for TV, Mr. Smart. I knew that's where you was going to go there.
Yeah, we have to have that face.
And after I was in radio for a while, a friend of mine named Hooper Pinuel told me, said, Whittle, with a voice like yours, have you ever thought about getting a newspaper? So I couldn't win.
Yeah. Sit behind the computer and you typed and you did stories. Yeah, it's good to be with you today, Dan. Always good to talk to you about your subjects. And you've been around here a long time, and a long time reporter and columnist for the D&J. And
somebody told me the other day I looked so old it looked like my face wore out five bodies. I think it was Truman Jones that told me this.
Truman has a way of coming at you with all four hands just coming at you. Right.
We have a mystery guest today, and she's going to be with us at
about
2:15. I'm not going to tell it.
No, she.
I'm not. But you know, a newspaper man's not
good at
keeping
secrets.
Well,
you just got to get the scoop. I know. Yeah. You always want to get the scoop, and that's what you always ask me if I was in the loop all the time,
yep.
And I stayed out of the loop most.
And
of the time.
At 5:30 in the morning, I'd make a phone call.
And I'd answer.
And I would ask, is Hoop in the loop? Well, one morning you were not there, and your daughter said, nope, Hoop's already flew the coop.
Well, that's what they felt like when that phone rang, and it woke everybody up. And I knew good and well it was Dan Whittle at the D&J trying to figure out what the National Guard was doing in Bosnia or in Herzegovina or Central and South America or wherever we were at that time.
We're going to talk a little military heritage here today in Rutherford County, from Smyrna Airport to the strong presence of present-day National Guard, the rich history of Seward Air Force Base that brought a lot of talent and technology to Rutherford County.
Gee.
They had the maneuvers here with General Patton. They did the training here in preparation to go in war over in Germany and ultimately in Japan. A lot of military history here. Of course, the Battle of Stones River. We got a lot of history here. We're going to talk some history today. This is the year of birthdays in Rutherford County.
It sure is, and we've got the county's got a birthday, and the city's getting ready to celebrate their 200th
anniversary. Yeah, Murfreesboro is 200 years old.
200, and that's about a little bit older than you.
The Stones River, I covered it, yes.
Yeah, okay.
The Stones River battlefield is 150 years old. MTSU's 150 years old, 1911 to 2011, Go Big Blue.
Go Big Blue, that's right.
History lives here.
A lot of history here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, and I say we've lived here most of our lives. About 18 months moved from Wilson County over here, and it was a small town at that time. I mean, it was a small town. We didn't have a four-lane going through the city like we did when I came back from the Air Force first time in 1958.
You know, it was about 5 years ago, it really dawned on me how much Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Rutherford County has grown. Now I have to plan my appointments according to the traffic. Well, used to, true. We never had to do that.
And it's getting to where the traffic is coming full force all hours of the day, too. I mean, every time you go down on Broad Street, you might as well and count,
and coming rank. to work today. And by the way, someone told me it was going to be tough to fill Truman Jones's
boots. Right. That's the reason you're not
and
sitting
it is
in his
tough.
Chair. You avoided sitting in his chair, Truman. If you're listening, he is sitting beside where you normally sit here.
Nobody can fill that chair.
Can't fill the big T's.
But as a country farm
shoes.
Boy.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, this job ain't as tough as picking cotton or chopping cotton.
Well, it's not, as hot either as it would be outside today if you were out there picking cotton.
Can you imagine doing that in 100-degree weather?
I cannot imagine it, and I would not want to do it, and I'm glad I didn't have to do it. And in fact, we lived on the farm when I was born, but my parents moved to town when I was 18 months old, and Dad got a job at Haynes Hardware.
So you're a city boy.
I'm a city boy, but I was born in the country in Greenville, and a little house on top of the hill across from Greenville Cemetery.
One of the serious things we're going to talk about today, Hooper, is the this is in the news. A lot of people won't know this. This is a kind of a bulletin, a kind of a scoop on WGNS today. But a historic decision was made today in Nashville. John Brown, the accused murderer, the convicted murderer, the confessed murderer of David Strangbean Ackerman back in 1973. John Brown and his brother, accomplice, also executed Estelle Ackerman, Strangbean's wife, execution style in the back of the head in a robbery after they finished playing at the Grand Ole Opry. The question is going to be... after we get through with our mystery guest, is whether or not John Brown should be paroled after all these years.
And we're going to accept phone calls at that
we're
time
going to accept,
and see
in fact,
what the people think about
speaking
that.
Speaking of phone calls, we've got a great call coming in right now.
All right, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Dan the Man Whittle.
Hey, is this Jennifer?
It is Jennifer Stewart, and how are you today?
Centrifugal, hon. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Are you out there in radio land? I've always wanted to say that.
Yes, I am, and I was listening to you on the way to Atlanta, so I thought, well, I need to call him.
Well,
see how you are.
There's two things that we want to talk about, Jennifer Stewart. And one of them is, I don't know whether you're on the road today. I don't know whether you know whether John Brown did not get parole today. And,
oh, that's wonderful.
Are you glad of that?
I am very happy about that, because that had been part of my life. Since I was a little girl, and that was horrible. That's one of the things that happened right after I moved here from Mississippi in the
70s. 1973.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Jennifer, this is Hooper. I hope you're doing well and you're driving safely, and please be sure and pull off the road if you're talking, because we don't want any accidents down there. But what
absolutely.
I was going to tell you, too, about Strangbean, String was one of my favorite entertainers on the Grand Ole Opry, and he normally... appeared, you know, just had the one show on Saturday night back then, and Saturday night was our night to have a bath at home. So anyway, we'd turn the radio on and we'd listen to Strangbean play that guitar. I mean the banjo, and I think he only knew about 3 or 4 keys, but he would sing in tune and out of tune. It didn't make any difference. It was Strangbean, and he's an icon. He'll always be an icon. And he was my favorite fan. I was his favorite fan.
Jennifer, tell us about the closeness of the country music family. I mean, it was a death in the family when these two tragic murders happened, was it not?
Oh, listen, that was terrible. It was devastating. And, you know, and he and Grandpa Jones were very close. And I do believe that Grandpa's one of the major people that found him outside. And it was just heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. Just golly for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you know, you grow up with people on the Opry, sure. You feel like you're part of their life, too, because they've been in your house.
Well, Jennifer is the daughter of John and Hilda Stewart. A lot of local people will know Hilda Stewart from her banking days here in Murfreesboro. She's retired now. Jennifer is well known in the country music industry, as well as her brother. Let's see, what's her brother's name, Hooper?
I think it starts with an M, Marty, I believe. Right. Yeah,
Marty is Jennifer Stewart's brother. That's
sure,
right.
Sure, that's right.
And it's our radio show, and that's the way we're going to do it, Jennifer, baby.
That's right. That's just fine. And he is, and always will be. So,
yeah, and you got a nickname for him. What is that? Can you share that?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to get in trouble, but I kind of sort of call him Big Hair every once in a while.
Big Hair. And we're not going to go the other part.
We don't do hair jokes on this program. But anyway, Jennifer, we wanted to talk to you about some business while we got you, and we do appreciate you calling and being a part of the show. You're in the business in a new enterprise. Jennifer Stewart's part of the Murfreesboro Indoor Flea Market here in Murfreesboro. What can you tell us about that, Jennifer?
Okay, well, first of all, it's on 1209 Park Avenue, which is the old Samsonite building, and the White Stag building. And we have vendors coming in, new ones, like every weekend. And this is every weekend on Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 5. There's good food. It's a lot of fun. And also, WGNS will be out there this weekend doing a lot of remote. So this will be fun. And also, you are coming to take pictures of us, aren't you, Dan?
Yes, ma'am. And I understand that Danny Page is going to be out there.
Danny Page will be out there.
Well, if he's out there, I'm going to have to bring the wide-angle lens, Jennifer.
Well, I know that, but you just bring them on. So.
Okay.
Jennifer, is that location out there right off of Samsonite Drive? Where?
It's Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Middle Tennessee Boulevard?
Yes.
And so anybody could
right
find
around the corner
at
Park Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And it's there's signage, and there's,
good.
Yeah, so
well,
I think we even have people flipping signs for it, know you can find it.
A lot of people know it as the old White Stag building, old White Stag warehouse, and that's the history part to me because I used to shop there.
We did. Shopped all the time there. That's right. What do you sell out there, Jennifer? I understand you've got some great bargains on antiques out there. Is that right?
Absolutely. Larry Martin and I have a booth together, and it's called Stuart Martin Antiques, and we have antiques and oddities.
And y'all will deal, you'll barter, you'll talk, you'll do most anything. Is that right? All you got to do is just go out there and look around, and you're going to walk out with something.
Absolutely. I've got a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
My name is Whittle, and I can't whittle a lick. And I went out there the other day, and Dandy Deals out there, they got the deals of a lifetime on
Dandy
those knives.
Dandy deals.
They've even got wedding dresses.
Oh, my God. That's a combination.
Tupperware.
Wedding dresses and knives. Now,
Tupperware, wedding dresses, and pocket knives.
Pocket knives.
And but I hate to confess that my name is Whittle, and I can't whittle a lick,
well,
man.
Whittle, that's right, I tell you.
Well, you can whistle pretty good.
Yeah, and anyway, well, Jennifer, you drive safe, and you have a safe journey. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, both of you, okay?
Thank
and
you,
y'all
Jennifer.
Have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you.
Glad you called. Good to hear from you again.
That
was nice of her to call in, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, that's a serious question. The John Brown...
Well, it is.
It's John Brown is reportedly, and I hope so. I hope he's a Christian man now. They say he's found his life in prison behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
I know part of the Christian creed is to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that part of the Christian creed is to obey the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
To execute somebody shooting them in the back of the head when they're begging for their lives is not part of the Christian creed. In noticing the blogs that I've been paying attention to the last few weeks, there's some people paying attention that John Brown was up for parole consideration today. I would say 70 to 80% of Tennesseans were not in favor of him being paroled. What do you think about that?
I would think you're right, probably more than that, but everyone had a link to the, everybody has a link to the Grand Ole Opry here, and especially an icon like String Bean, and to revisit that and to hear about the death again like we have in the news here lately, there was no sense in it. It was just terrible. And if they needed the money, that's one thing. But taking somebody's life the way they did was just absolutely asinine to me.
Yeah. And another thing we want to talk today about Hooper is military tradition, military history. We have a rich history of military here in Rutherford County, dating back to the Civil War. There's even two...
Civil War? Yeah. I was on the front lines. I beat the drum.
There's a little cemetery outside of Beech Grove down in Fairfield where two Revolutionary War soldiers are buried, and very few people know about that.
That's where you went and think you courted your wife at one time.
That was the first place that we smacked them lips.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. In a cemetery.
Yeah, okay. She's never recovered.
It was quiet there, wasn't it? Peaceful.
Anyway, but Hooper is a retired military. the first, that's how I got to know you. You were Lieutenant Colonel, Public Affairs Officer. You right. got me shot at in Bosnia.
Well, we tell that story. We do. But you were our link to Rutherford County because we had a lot of troops, a lot of National Guardsmen that lived up here in Rutherford County, still do, by the way. And in other words, even the commanders of several of the Air Guard units lived here, like Don Follis and Jim Roberts and a lot of other people lived up here. And they called them the Mafia down there with the Guard.
But the military
the
Mafia.
The Murfreesboro Military Mafia. But they were great. They were great guys. And
tell us, just ballpark it. I know you've been retired a few years, but ballpark it and tell us how many National Guard, Army National Guard people are based at Smyrna. Is it 300, 500, 1,000?
I think there's probably around 800 to 1,200 there now. A lot of troops there, a lot of units there, a lot of the units have seen action in Iraq and Afghanistan and are going back for the second and third time. And that's sort of new to the National Guard, but it's they're capable and they do it because they want to do it and they're true dedicated soldiers.
The Guard's role started changing back in the early 1990s, if I remember right.
That's right.
Operation Desert Storm is what brought you and I together closely as professionals, me a newspaper man and you as a public information officer. But tell us how the National Guard's role quit being a weekend soldier, too.
You know, the old saying about the weekend warrior was very prominent during those times, and it's not the case anymore. The National Guard has a dual mission. They have a home mission, and then they have a federal mission as well. The home mission is directed by the governor of the state of Tennessee, and the federal mission is directed by the president of the United States. So, anyway, when they're activated, they go out of control of the state and they become part of the federal government, but their role has changed in it that they're worldwide. They don't just go down to Camp Shelby or Fort Stewart or somewhere. They go where the action is. The Air Guard has been where the action is all over the world for years. They're flying refueling missions out of Knoxville. They're flying supply missions out of Nashville. They've got C-5s over in Memphis. So it's a worldwide training mission for the Guard here in Tennessee, and they're training all the time. So
you've made many. I went to Bosnia with you on that assignment. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I remember you going to Somalia and Kenya and those nations early on. Were those perhaps your two toughest assignments as a public information officer?
Because I think you're right because of the nature of what we were doing. We were flying relief supplies. A C-130 is an intra-theater aircraft, and they fly missions inside a theater. They're not the long haul like the C-5s or the 141s used to be. But anyway, there's a lot of action going on prior to when we got there to fly relief supplies. The French American Legion had been there, or the French Foreign Legion had been there, and most of the enemy that they were facing were getting a lot of the supplies, probably over 50% of the supplies that were being airdropped and also flown in for the folks to have to eat.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a mission. We went into Mombasa, Kenya, which is not too far from Mogadishu. We did get to go up to Mogadishu to see what was happening up there. But it was the main base, the main port for the action that was there. Mombasa was just sort of a side.
You saw bravery, but you also saw poverty.
We saw a lot of poverty. Some of the pictures that y'all ran in the news journal showed that, and we could see the poverty on the face. We could see the swollen bellies of the kids because they were standing by the fence waiting to get something to eat. And they were some of the locals would walk up to the Americans and have something to sell. I know some of the guys bought these camel bells that were carved out of some type of wood. But all they wanted was something, and you could trade a ballpoint pen for one of these artworks that was done by the Somalians there. So, you know, anything. I don't know what the ballpoint pen would bring on that market over there, but it was apparently a hot topic at that time. So poverty was an issue, and I think people can be proud of the Tennessee National Guard for their support and what they did in that particular action and what they're doing now.
And the Tennessee Air Guard still very prevalent in world affairs, military affairs. Right now, they're training C-130 pilots for other nations, and these C-130s you see flying over Murfreesboro and Smyrna every day are a part of that training. Right, tell us a little bit about that.
They've taken on a good mission when the BRAC came by, when they started reducing the number of bases. One of the options was to opt for a training mission and as opposed to the airlift wing mission that we had. This is doing really, really well for those troops that are still there. We're training foreign pilots, say from Central America and South America, or it could be from anywhere.
Bulgaria,
to fly the C-130. So they've reduced most of the planes. We used to have 24 C-130s there, and that's been reduced down to, I think, less than a dozen at this time. So the need for the aircraft demanded that those aircraft be moved into active duty. So we're still there. We're still doing a mission, and hopefully that will continue.
We got soldiers being brought to Rutherford County now. New soldiers, current soldiers. We've got veterans being treated at the historic York VA Medical Center here.
Lots of people, lots of veterans.
We've got soldiers, current and past, being brought to the Nashville VA Medical Center. So Rutherford County, due to the continued military presence, we are still in the military business here, although we don't have an air base here or a military base here. We do have the Guard, the Army Guard, based here.
Exactly.
But you're involved, you and I are involved in you and I have talked off the air a little bit, and we consider the mission that you and I currently share. We've been to Bosnia together. We've covered news for the old Nashville Banner together. But tell us about the mission that we perhaps consider our most important shared mission.
Dan, I think this mission that you and I have agreed to work on is probably the most important that I have ever been involved in, and that's to help the veterans. I was a veteran. I was not injured, but there are a lot of veterans that have been injured.
And we're not just talking physical wounds here.
We're not talking physical wounds. We're talking
mental, emotional,
mind cases, and those type things that are involved. So I think we're getting a phone call in or something. So we'll get back to this in just a minute.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Dan, you're the greatest writer, plus Lee Sadler. Okay.
All right.
My mother was Maddie Martin. You wrote about her one time, okay?
Yes, sir.
And that she can make the best peach pies in Rutherford County and Murfreesboro.
And those peach pies are famous.
Love peach pies.
And I think they have destined Murfreesboro to be the capital of Tennessee for one day during our bicentennial.
Well, it was almost permanently the capital of Tennessee. A lack of $100 that the county commissioners didn't want to spend back in 1810. If they had spent that $100 to record the documents for the state government at that time, Murfreesboro would have been the capital of the great volunteer state.
I think our senators designate our city to be the capital for one day only.
That would be quite an honor, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, sir.
It would.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
And thank you.
That would bring back history, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling in, buddy. We're going to take a break.
One of our new sponsors is At Home Care, where they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and they're right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. You can reach them at 713-4639 or check out their website at www.athomecaretennessee, that's TN.com. And what they provide for you is a service that I think that we will all need at one time, and many need it right now. As you get older, you have a harder time taking care of the task that you have to take care of at your home. And none of us wants to leave our home. And they provide a person's ability to remain at home, and they go in and take care of the errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many other things. And they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're having any specific times, whether it's an age problem or you're having physical problems or whatever, and you just need help, give them a call.
Guardian has over 125 years combined experience in security, fire, camera systems, and access control for your home and business. Contact Guardian at 459-1040 at mygss.com.
Guardian, we help you keep your guard up.
459-1040.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready for spring today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Well, here it is Tuesday, July the 19th. Time for Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank. There's a free ACT and SAT workshop tonight over at the Patterson Community Center. Starts at 5 o'clock this evening. Now, you do need to register. The number to call is 907-3429. Tonight's one-hour session is a writing workshop. At 7 o'clock tonight, the Civil War Roundtable over at the Heritage Center at 225 West College Street. That's behind Marina's Restaurant. 7 o'clock tonight. Movies Under the Stars tonight at 8:30 over at the Cannonsburg Pioneer Village. And this week's movie, The Little Princess, 8:30 tonight. There's an Alzheimer's Walk luncheon tomorrow at the Embassy Suites Hotel. The guest speaker is Lisa Patton and Rutherford County Mayor Ernest Burgess. That's 11:30 tomorrow. For information, call them at 292-4938. There's a Red Cross blood drive on Thursday from 9 until 6 at the Red Cross office. That's the former Chamber of Commerce building, 501 Memorial Boulevard. They are desperately low on blood, so please give the gift of life Thursday. Also, this reminder, Thursday is the Murfreesboro Community Bicentennial Meeting. This is going to be at the Patterson Community Center, and they're wanting all civic groups, businesses, schools, faith-based organizations, and every citizen who's interested in our community. You need to be at that meeting Thursday at 10 o'clock. It's a planning meeting for our city's bicentennial. That's this coming Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Patterson Community Center. WGNS is happy to list your Good Neighbor events on the radio and internet absolutely free. Just get them to us 2 weeks before they occur. Good Neighbor events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon. Slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. High in the mid-90s. Heat indice value as high as 99. Tonight, reach a low of 76. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 90.
Hey, this is Tom over at Kirk & Burt's. Today's special is our barbecue sandwiches for $1.50. You can add a piece of homemade pie for a full, healthy meal. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Kaysen Lane, just past the theater. Or call in your order, 893-FOOD.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And today, sitting in for Truman Jones, the one and only Dan Whittle and Hooper Pinuel.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
Tom Brady will be delighted to see him there. Tom Brady is the one who rebuilt the mill and it's now fully operational. They have breakfasts there on Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Nora's in there helping him. And whatever they fixed you is made right there at the mill. And it's an amazing place right on the river. Take about a 10-minute drive out John Bragg Highway. And just before you get out of Rutherford County, you'll see Cripple Creek on the right. Turn left there on the old Woodbury Highway. About a 2-mile drive. Go right over the river. Turn left. And if the parking place is not full, now if it's full, you'll have to turn right. If you get a chance, go out there anyway, because you'll never regret it.
Hey!
We got cut off, didn't we?
Hey, that's the A.B. McCall imitation.
That's the A.B.
there.
McCall. Remember that
D.T.
show?
D.T. McCall, yeah.
On the morning?
Yeah.
That was a morning date with whatever it was. It was a good show, entertainment show, but...
Yeah.
J.T. McCall.
A.B. McCall.
A.B. McCall.
And
that's right.
D.T. McCall,
yeah.
His son, the D.T. McCall store started in the back of a wagon, a horse and wagon. And they would go around peddling, his father and grandfather.
What did they peddle?
Furniture.
Furniture?
Yeah.
Watermelons?
The watermelons.
Whatever they could sell, yeah. Yeah.
You were mentioning something a while ago about Fisher House.
Well, about the Fisher House. You and I have got together, and we've agreed to help the local... The ongoing effort to raise $3 million to help build a home away from home for veterans and their families. And just let me tell you, Dan, as you know, as Americans, we're not true patriots if we don't do everything we can to accommodate these injured military veterans that need health care during and after active military service. And what this does is we're ensuring that we remain free here in the United States. But anyway... That's what we're doing. It's going to be built out here on the grounds of the Alvin C. York Veterans Hospital.
You know, and not a lot of people know about the Fisher House. Fisher House operates, Hooper, a lot like the Ronald McDonald houses in the big cities.
Exactly.
What it does is allows families to accompany their veteran family members here. It not only benefits the families monetarily, because military families, they don't have a lot of financial resources.
That's exactly right.
And it benefits the wounded and the ailing and the sick veteran more than just physical, medically speaking. It also benefits them mentally speaking emotionally speaking.
When you're around your family and the veterans needs their family during that time of healing, it's good to have them close by. And that's what this home will provide for the veterans and their families. It's a home away from home, completely self-contained. The home will be anywhere from 8 to 21 suites. They all have private bedrooms and bathrooms, which is good. Families share a common kitchen, laundry facilities, and they have dining rooms. It's just like a home away from home, fully equipped, They're really great. They even have rollaway beds for the kids to stay in there. So there's about 54 of these homes that's already been built around the United States.
And this will be
this
will be the only one in Tennessee. It's at the York VA campus. They've already selected the ground. The groundbreaking will be held sometime next spring. That's a projected date, not ironclad date. Anything. We got a phone call coming in now, and so let's see who this is,
Dan. Man, I'm excited.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. I did my military obligation, my 2-year obligation in the early 60s, and I guess I've not kept up to date. I have two questions, if you would, please. First of all, did it take some additional act of Congress for the role of the National Guard to change? And secondly, once a National Guard member is activated, then must an employer re-employ them when they return from active duty?
Well, the change took place years ago where the National Guard would get involved and could be activated. And at that same time, when they were working and had jobs, the law also states that the employer is required to give that veteran back a job, maybe not the one that he has, but to ensure that he has a place to come home to. The employer support for the Guard and Reserve is a very important ongoing program. I was the public affairs officer for that for the ESGR here in the state a few years, and one of the main things that we had to contend with was when the veteran came home, the businesses decided, well, you've been gone too long, and we had to hire somebody else. But the law says that a job must be available for that veteran when he comes back to the job. So yes, it was an act that was incorporated by the government years ago. So I hope that answers your question. And there we are, Dan.
The military, we can never say thank you enough. The Hooper's and my friendship actually goes back before his National Guard days. And Hooper, we want to have a little fun here today too. Hooper has the distinction, the honor actually. He was a correspondent to the Nashville Banner back in 1972 when I was a feature writer at the Nashville Banner. And one of Hooper's prized assignments, and he really did a beautiful, touching job on this. Hooper, if you would, tell us, Hooper covered the actual last burial, the historic last burial that took place in the Stones River battlefield that dated back to the Civil War.
Well, when I got the call from Harold Lynch, I'd been working for the Banner part-time. It's what we call a stringer or a state correspondent or whatever you want to call it. For years, and then I followed my brother Lou Pinuel, who worked for Channel 5 at that time in the news business. So it sort of ran in the family. I like to take pictures, so I was able to go out there and lucked out with a great shot of the flag, and it was featured on the front page of the Banner. So that was probably one of my highlights of the Banner days, but. That was a good experience, and that time helped me progress, and so I enjoyed it. And Harold Lynch and Dan Whittle and all those guys down at the Banner were great friends, and helped me along the way. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do with the Fisher House, is to help other people along the way at this time too.
That's our job. That's
to
our help
job.
Each other.
Well, we're gonna try to. You need a lot of help too, Dan. Yeah,
you know. No doubt about that.
I've always heard you're from Kanalu too. Can you tell me where Kanalu is?
I'm just glad you learned to pronounce it.
Well,
is
I'm
Kanalu.
Trying to get better.
It's only on your better road
well,
maps.
It is.
It's
I'm
a little town
get,
in southeast Missouri. The Boot Hill, they call it.
Boot Hill. Where's the Boot Hill?
You got to be strong to get out of the Boot Hill, according to my wife. The Boot Hill is a farming country down the part. It sticks down like it should be a part of the Arkansas, right across the Mississippi River. The old saying in Missouri, if you gave the Boot Hill to Arkansas, it would raise the IQ of both states. And so,
well, you talk a lot about Kanalu, and I know there's a lot of history there. I'm not sure how big of a town it is, but it's probably about like Las Casas, maybe. If you blink your eye, you'll probably miss it when you go through now. But
at its heyday, 350 humans, 48 coon dogs that slept on Main Street. We had a mile-long Main Street, and we never did run over any of the coon dogs, but we did bump a wife or two with our John Deere tractors and Silvertail combines.
Typical country town. John.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that's good.
And that's right. First time I took Pat there, Pat turned ashen white, and I thought she was ill. We pulled into Main Street of Kanalu, which is a ghost town. And mm-hmm. I turned around and I said, Pat, are you feeling ill? And she said, no. I said, what's your problem? I thought she was ill, was going to need to stop the car. And she said, you had to be strong to get out of here, boy.
And, man.
But it's a great place
right.
to grow up.
Sure.
I got religion in the cotton patch there. I think the record amount of cotton I ever picked in a day's time was 172 pounds.
How much within that sack was real cotton?
Yeah, it all was real cotton. My mother and dad had beat you to death.
Oh, my
if you put anything
well,
corn in
there. Well, I understand that. I never did pick cotton, but I understand there was some rocks that tried to get in there.
That happened, and it would set the cotton gin on fire
well,
when that
would
happen. And
yeah.
But mother asked me on her deathbed in 2003 at Peachtree Nursing Home here in Smyrna. She said, you remember a prayer, Danny, when you was 5 years old in the cotton patch? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, can you recite that prayer? She caught me praying on my knees. It's about 110 degrees, about like it is today. They done strapped one of them little toe sacks around my shoulder, and I was having to pick that cotton. About 2 o'clock, I got fed up with that picking cotton business, and she caught me praying on my knees, and she said, "Can you recite that prayer?" And I said, "I can recite it to this day, Mother." And it went something like this: "Big God, this is little Danny Whittle. If you don't mind, don't make me no cotton picker when I grow up." See, Hooper prayer works, because, man, I ain't picked no cotton in a long time.
Well, you got to the right man, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm glad you did do that. So.
Speaking of prayer,
yep.
Our friend Truman is at the funeral today for a good friend of his, Mr. Glenn Bland. They go to Sunday school together, mm-hmm. and that's why Truman's not here today, and he wanted to pass on sympathy there, and we wanted to ask prayer for Miss Joni Davis. I understand that she's battling a serious illness. And also,
what about Mary Lou Parsley out there at the
prayer for her? She's had a stroke, a long time employee,
been there a long time,
yeah,
and member of the community.
And we want to ask prayer for she and her family. Also, we want to ask prayer for Bart Smith. He's a long time public
Bart
servant.
Smith was a great friend. He is a great friend.
Yeah,
and did a lot of good work here in the county.
And I had lunch today with several present and former public servants, and one of them was Gina Nelson, worked out at the Sheriff's Department a long time, and I wanted to say hey to Gina. Gina voiced an interest in coming as a volunteer with Fisher House.
That's great. We'll write her at the, we'll put her number down.
Yeah,
that's
we've
right.
got yeah. her phone number.
Anybody else that wants to volunteer to help?
We do need volunteers, and sure. Tell them phone numbers that they can call.
Hoop well, the phone number they can call if they're interested in possibly donating to the Fisher House cause, or either wanting to volunteer to help us raise funds, they can call me, Hooper Pennell, at 347-1672. That's 347-1672. Or Dan Whittle, you can reach him at 459-7650. That's 459-7650. So that's the phone numbers if anybody wants to help.
We will come to churches to speak. We'll come to civic groups. We'll come to schools when they get back in session.
In fact, we're going to the senior citizens tonight.
Tonight in Murfreesboro. We're going to speak to some military people, retired.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And looking forward to do so on behalf of the Fisher House. We're
you be
pumped.
Sure and wear
we're
clean
ready to
socks.
Go. I'm going to wear clean underwear and
clean
socks.
That's right. I don't want to have to explain
Mr. Smart
Mouth. Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, anyway, you do a good job, Dan. And how long? Let me ask you a question. How long were you in the newspaper business, and how did you get into that?
45 long, beautiful
long
years.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, news business.
You started
gets
you back
humble.
When the Underwood typewriters. You had to.
My old Royal.
Old Royal.
Could not wear them out. Wore my hands out before I wore that. Never did wear that Royal typewriter out.
Were the rooms smoke filled when you were?
Yeah, and not only that, but whiskey filled.
Was it?
Then a little later on, there was an aromatic, different aroma that would float through newsrooms.
Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Oh, no. Some of that's not legal, even today. But when I was at the Banner, we had a bunch of people that were great to work with, colorful people. I've known some of the smartest people in the world. Smartest man I ever interviewed was a radio man, Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey.
Could talk intelligently about any subject under the sky.
Good day.
Good
day.
And page 2.
Page 2. Go to the commercial. That's right.
Yeah, he was a brilliant man, an humble man. I never will forget. I interviewed him. I was so nervous leading into that interview. I prepared for 2 days to be able to talk to him.
Did you interview him when you came to MTSU?
No, I interviewed him in Missouri.
Okay. Well, he did come to Middle Tennessee State in one of their communication programs ahead. I got to meet him there. Great guy. Big guy, too.
Yeah.
Very, very, very outcoming and talking.
Had a commanding, booming voice, presence.
He was just
a strong personality. Another great man I interviewed was Jackie Robinson, the 1948 gentleman who broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, buddy.
Brilliant man. Strong personality. He was quite a guy.
If Truman was here, he could talk to you about that baseball. Now, he and I both played baseball together with the first Little League teams that came into Murfreesboro at the time. We were on the Yankees. Coach was Gilbert Sherrin.
Could Truman
and
really?
Truman could pitch. He could throw.
Could he throw a
he
fastball?
He couldn't throw a curve, but he could throw a fastball straight. Mm-hmm. You know it's going to come straight. You didn't have to worry about it curving; it would come straight.
Mm-hmm.
But it zoomed.
Uh-huh.
It clicked. that catcher had to put extra padding into that catcher's mitt.
Well, due to his racing and everything, old Truman's always been a pretty straight shooter.
Well, he has, and yeah. he continues to be a straight yeah. shooter. But we had good times playing the ball, and we remember a lot of those good times together.
Did you play against Coon Victory from
Smyrna? Sure did, yeah, all the Victory boys.
Was Coon a good ball player?
He was a good ball player, and he had more family members there. He didn't have to bring anybody else because Coon's going to bring his family. His family was there, and they took up the whole side of the field. But anyway, and you know, if they could replace each other, they could all play the same. They could play the same positions. They could pitch. They could do most anything. But they were the Terrors. I don't remember what team they were on, but we were on the Yankees, and always been a Yankee fan. I can't say anything about Cardinals or all that, but you know, Yankees.
We were raised up St. Louis Cardinal fans in those cotton patches, and in fact, at one time, me and my brother, we could tell you every batting average in the National League, every earned run average of every pitcher in the National League. Of course, at that time, there was only 8 teams in the National League. But I too played Little League baseball back in our little farm town, and I had 3 Little League baseball coaches of distinction. One, Donald Sexton, was one coach, and he just passed away 2 or 3 months ago. And he had the distinction of, when he left Canalou, of moving to Morehouse.
Where's Morehouse?
It's 5 miles from Sykeston, Missouri,
and
5 miles from my little farm town. The second Little League baseball coach, he ended up working in Washington, D.C., and worked in and near the White House. And that was a pretty good achievement. And the third Little League baseball coach, he ended up in the Big House, the prison up in Jefferson City, Missouri, for robbing Fifth State Bank, and I covered that bank robbery.
Did you sure know?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
He walked, I was...
That made headline news there in Canada.
Oh, that was big.
And, big, yeah.
I focused on, at that time, we still had those big box square cameras, big, heavy, 13-pound.
Big box, yeah. It took a ton.
Speed graphics.
Speed graphics.
And you would focus on a doorway.
Like
when
a 4x5 negative, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, great negatives. Yeah. And you would focus on a doorway when they'd be bringing the subject through. And so I was focused on the door. Of course, I had no idea who the bank robbery suspect was. When he stepped through the door, I flashed the camera and liked to drop the camera. It was my Little League baseball coach. And he walked by me and he said, "Danny, I'm in a heap of trouble." He didn't. I cleaned that up a little bit. But he said he was in big trouble.
He was in big trouble. Yeah, you've had a good experience, I know, out there in Canalou. And, You have brought a lot to this area.
Yeah, this area
people still vote for you as the best columnist or the best reporter in the DNJ Ruthie's Award, even though your name's not on there. I understand that they still vote for Dan Whittle.
Yeah, this community is for me rotten. This is the greatest community. My friend Gina Nelson today and I were talking about how good this community is to help. The community, they don't have to be kin to you here. If they know there's a genuine needy cause in the community, whether it's a fire burnout family on the front page of the paper or the radio station here at WGNS, this community will rally. If the people need help with finances due to ongoing extended medical bills, which can wipe any family out in this era, this community will help. I tell people who's never lived away from here, such as yourself, you're native, and have never really lived away from here, although you've traveled around the world. I tell people that they don't know really how nice they are if they've never lived away from Murfreesboro and Smyrna, Laverne, and Rutherford County, and Woodbury.
Well, during my travels and when I was in the military, it was always good to get back to Middle Tennessee and the green grasses of home.
The green grass of home. Let's take a little break.
How would you like to have oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge for your new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, now you can. Both only at Stan McNabb Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC and Stan McNabb Jeep Dodge Chrysler in Tullahoma and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg. You heard right. No more oil changes to pay for. No more tires to buy. Save hundreds, even thousands, with their oil change and tires for life when you purchase a new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb. Buy with confidence at Stan McNabb. Check it out at stanmcnabb.com. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Chuck Lewis with First Bank in Murfreesboro.
And Jim Bryan of First Bank in Smyrna.
Did you know that Social Security and other federal benefits are moving to a paperless system?
If you're currently receiving a paper check from the government and want to know more about how you can make the transition to direct deposit, stop by your local First Bank branch or call 890-1111 in Murfreesboro or 267-1111 in Smyrna.
That's 890-1111 or 267-1111. First Bank, member FDIC.
Habit of 25 to 130, middle of Miami, 35 to 135,000. Hello, I'm Tad Craig with Craig & Wheeler Realty and Auction Company, and Saturday, July 23rd at 10 a.m., we're conducting an absolute estate auction for 303 Hancock Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's a two-bedroom, one full bath with a brand new central heat and air unit close to downtown and MTSU. It'll make a great personal home or investment property. No buyer's premium. What you bid is what you pay. So come see us Saturday, July 23rd at 10 a.m. and buy at your price. For more details, visit us on the web at craigwheeler.com.
License number 547.
If you drive a GM vehicle, listen up.
We can do gauge repairs for half the price you're charged at the auto dealer, and it won't take 2 weeks.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We can do it same day.
This is Shelby.
Come see me.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
Hoop in the loop. We're winding down.
And, you know, like old Click and Clack says on PBS Radio, we've totally wasted 1 hour here. I think it's been a good hour.
I've been called many names down through life and everything, but I don't think I've ever been called Click or Clack.
You may be Click. Okay. But anyway, we have just about pondered an hour here, and it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. And I know Truman can't wait to get back because he's going to have to clean up what we've messed up since we've been here. But I think you've done a great job, Dan.
Well, you made it easy. And, of course, Brian Barrett, he's our producer, and he's a professional, a good church boy. And just the whole staff here at WGNS Radio is a blessing to our community. WGNS still represents what good community journalism is all about. I think newspaper industry has got away from that to some extent.
Sure.
I like local news. I like local feature stories, and I think the public likes that.
Well, WGNS has always been the good neighbor station, and they continue to do that and provide that service to the community, and always advertising different events that are going on and how you can help and how you can do that. And that's what's called public service. It's hard to get that anymore at some of the bigger stations and even in the newspaper. But we're fortunate to have WGNS here, and it's been here a long time. And my brother used to work for WGNS years ago as a DJ, and he started out here and went on. But we've been listening to WGNS for a long time, and since I've been back home, I find myself listening to it more because I want to find out what's going on here.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
The radio stations are they're local, and a lot of newspapers are now corporately owned out of New York or Washington or Virginia, and the newspaper in Woodbury is still real strong. The Murfreesboro Post here and the Daily News Journal, we're blessed to have those two newspapers operating in Rutherford Reader. And we got a phone call coming in. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
John Earl Beatty. Buddy, how you doing?
Doing fine. Y'all did a great job filling in.
I appreciate that.
How's your pigs doing, John?
Yeah, how's the pig?
He's been hot, but he's got his own swimming pool.
He's got his own air conditioner, too, huh?
Whatever it is.
What's it like to have a pig that's more famous than you, Big John?
I don't know about that. That's a loaded funny question.
Go ahead, buddy.
But I just want to tell you what a great job y'all did. Truman has done good by getting y'all.
Well, thank you, good
thank
buddy.
Thank you for calling in, John L.
You're
and we'll look forward to hearing from you again sometime.
You're a good citizen. We appreciate you being involved in your community like you are. Go Blackman!
Okay, thank you. All right.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, hoop in the loop.
I guess
we're
at the end of the rope here.
Hoop in the loop. It's time to fly the coop.
It's been fun, and You got to get out in this hot weather.
Yeah, we do. I don't even perspire, Hooper, since I got saved at Parkway Baptist Church.
You be careful when you're
Thanks for coming
home.
On the show with
Enjoyed
me, buddy.
It. All right. Enjoyed it.